One,
two,
three,
four.
Monster movie.
Fun time, go! Monster movie.
Fun time, go! Monster
movie.
Fun time,
go!
Monster movie.
Fun time, go!
With Precious D and Honey Bee.
Fun time, go!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Folks, we have a special guest with us today. He has a kaiju-themed comic book coming out soon on Kickstarter. Mr. David Hedgecock, welcome to the show.
Yay! Hi. Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me.
David, tell the listeners the name of your upcoming comic book.
I'm going to say something before I tell the name, because I have had this name, and I'm not, I swear I've had this name for almost 10 years, and it's even written down. So, but the name of the book is Super Kaiju Rock and Roller Derby Fun Time Go.
There you go. There it is, folks. Fun Time Go. How did you happen to come up with that name? What is the cosmic coincidence
the origin,
involved?
The origin story of that, go. Yeah. So Super Kaiju Rock and Roller Derby Fun Time Go has been a thing that's been percolating in the back of my mind for years and years and years. I'm a comic book maker by profession, so I've been doing it for about 20 years. And so I've had this idea in the back of my head for a long time. And one of the inspirations for the name was I was trying to think of just like the most ridiculous sounding name, because, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, just, you know, if you heard that just for the first time, you'd be like, that's the most ridiculous name ever, and that's never going to go anywhere. It's like 30 miles long. Like, nobody, that's not going to roll off the tongue. No one's going to remember that. But in fact, it worked exactly the way it should have. Like, you can't forget, you know, hearing it when you hear Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So when I was working on the concept of the book, it's about a rock and roller, it's about a roller derby team / rock band. Like, it's just this group of 20 something women who, you know, they're kind of down on their luck, and they got a lot of talent, but that really, you know, it's not really paying off for them yet. They're kind of broke, and then this giant kaiju shows up, and that's sort of like where we start. So I want to get all that in there, right, with the inspiration of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So I was like, okay, well, kaiju, rock and roll, roller derby. So I got Super Kaiju Rock and Roller Derby, and I got the, it needs something. I don't know what it needs, but it needs something. and then, I don't know, just in a burst of inspiration, you know, as I was working on it, I was like, oh, it just needs more words. So I just tacked on the Fun Time Go. And then there's actually an exclamation mark at the end as well. And this is how much I think about this stuff. One of my longtime inspirations, and if you're a comic book nerd, you will probably might know this one, but there's a guy whose name is Scott Shaw. And Scott Shaw, basically, for people who aren't comic book fans, he was the lead or head animator for just about everything Fred Flintstone and the Flintstones between the mid 80s to the mid 90s. Like, if it was Flintstones, this guy was like in charge of it. But he always he also did comic books, and when he was doing comic books, he would always sign his name Scott Shaw with an exclamation mark at the end. And he insisted that you put the exclamation mark. And I thought, well, what a funny affectation. And I'm absolutely going to add that to the title. So probably way more than you ever need to know about the title of this book, but there you go.
Well, I'd say our version of that name partly came from J-pop America Funtime Now and probably Teen Titans Go. And
that makes sense.
Part of the idea was to sound like a bad translation of something.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of that in there for me. Like what is the K-pop / J-pop version of like that bad? That's kind of, there's a little bit of that in there for sure.
Yeah, well, J-pop America Funtime Now was a Saturday Night Live sketch, a recurring sketch a few years ago about some Japanese culture enthusiasts who everything they knew about Japan was just from watching anime.
Yeah, it's perfect.
So you got a Kickstarter coming out soon. When is that coming out?
Yeah, the Kickstarter launches on Friday, April 12th. And okay. We're super excited. We're just putting, like, dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's right now with the team. And we can't wait to share this one out. We've got working on this thing for a while, so I'm excited to share it with the world. This is the first. So I mentioned I've worked in comic books for 20 years. I was the editor-in-chief and an associate publisher for a big comic book company called IDW Publishing. And IDW did like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Ghostbusters and Star Trek. And they did Transformers when I was there, G.I. Joe, stuff like that. And so when I worked there, we did a few Kickstarters, mostly for our game division. And I was deeply involved in those. And we did one or two comic book Kickstarters as well. And I had a lot to do with those. But this is the first time that I've had a chance to sort of like do a Kickstarter for something for myself. So it's a very different experience. But it's so much more fun than I thought it was going to be. And I thought I was going to be nervous and sort of anxious. But really, I'm just sort of like excited for people to see what we've been doing. I'm just kind of like excited for people to check it out and sort of join the party. Because it's a pretty fun little book, if I do say so myself. And we've got a really fun campaign sort of like ready to go and all kinds of odd, interesting ways to hopefully entertain everybody that joins us on the Kickstarter. Trying to make it so that the Kickstarter itself is kind of like part of the entertainment, you know, instead of just like talking about the book, we're going to do some other fun stuff and sort of do it in a voice that I hope is fun. As an example, probably not getting too much away, but in the book, the girls have a manager and his name is Mau Mau. He's sort of like the coach of the roller derby team. He's sort of like, he's the dude that kind of gets some gigs for their band. And so in the Kickstarter, Mau Mau is actually the guy that's running the Kickstarter. And Mau Mau is not necessarily the most bright guy on the planet, but he's definitely a lot of fun. And so when you join the campaign, that's who you're going to be talking to. You're going to be talking to Mau Mau, and he's got all kinds of crazy stuff to say. Yeah. So,
okay, cool.
Yeah.
Folks, if you haven't looked at the comic yet, you can check it out at get.funtimego.com. And it looks to me like the elevator pitch would be Josie and the Pussycats meets Godzilla with a little bit of Whippet thrown in. And David, you don't know me, but those that do know that I would think that is the greatest thing ever.
I love hearing that. And you're pretty, that's pretty darn close, actually. I mean, those are definitely inspirations for me, and that's certainly the sort of like the vibe I'm going for. So good. I'm glad to hear that. That's great. And you're not the first person to say that. In fact, one of the reasons why I decided to like do this, well, there's a lot of reasons, but one of them was that every time I would, you know, throw this concept out to, you know, my friends who are also working in the industry, in the comic book industry, every single time I would talk about it and give them the name of the title of the book, they'd be like, oh, you have to do that. That's so fun. You have to do that. And so after hearing that enough times, I was like, okay, I guess I do have to do this. So it's nice to hear people say that. And it's nice to know that I'm not alone in my weird idiosyncratic adoration of certain things. In fact, I think there's a lot of us out there, as it turns out. So that's good to know.
Well, I mean, I absolutely love the 2000 movie Josie and the Pussycats, and obviously I have a kaiju podcast, so that a little bit of interest in that as well.
Yeah.
So I have actually been to a roller derby. I have some acquaintances who roller derby.
Nice.
So yeah, this is
right. I've been street. So in this at that get.funtimego.com address, there's a way basically to sign up for the email so you get like alerted when the Kickstarter launches. I don't know when this is coming out, but the Kickstarter might already be going, so go to Kickstarter and search Super Kaiju. But one way or the other, you'll get to where you want to, where we need you to go. But so I've been collecting emails from people and sort of already talking to people about the project that have like shown interest. And I got an email the other day from this guy who, hopefully I'm not giving anything away, but he lives in Texas and his wife is on a roller derby team. And so he's super excited because this is like, he's going to basically, this is going to be the thing he's getting this for, because he's wanting to get her into comic books. And he knows that if he's got a roller derby hook, he's going to be able to get her in there, and he likes kaiju. So it's like, all right, this is super fun. I'm super excited. And so then he sent me to the website where like, you know, like the whole roller derby league basically in Texas. So I just went down like a rabbit hole the other day where I spent like 2 hours like trying to watch a video of this specific roller derby league in Texas and just watching roller derby for like an hour for no reason. But love that stuff.
Well, we're in West Texas and
we're
in West Texas, and that's where I've been, that's where I've seen the roller derby. So I don't know, I'm not sure if that's the same league or, I mean, Texas is a big
place. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I can't remember. I think, I probably shouldn't say. It's Texas, but yeah, I think I actually do know the city, but I probably shouldn't say. I don't want to get too specific. But yeah, it was nice to get that kind of feedback, and nice to know that people are still going out to the roller derby rink and watching it. You know, here in San Diego, there's not as much as there used to be. It's a little harder to find, but still out there, but it's just not as, it was a moment where it was really good, and now it's just not quite there. But I love the whole kayfabe of it all, you know. It's not, the whole thing is just so much fun.
What exactly are we getting out of this Kickstarter? Is it one issue? Is it a whole story? Is it a trade paperback?
Yeah, it's a book. We're calling it a graphic novella. So it's going to be like a hardcover, square bound, you know, like full color book. There's going to be like a dust jacket on it. So it's really high end. I've made comic books again. I keep saying it, but I've made comic books for a long time, but I just don't have a lot of interest in doing like, you know, like the stapled, like we call it saddle stitched, but like, you know, the floppy comic books that are just like 20 pages of story and that's it. And it's just like in a sort of a magazine, sort of cheaper format. I'm just not interested in doing that. So we beefed it up. We did, we're doing 48 pages worth of content. And like I said, it's a square bound hardcover. It's going to be a really, really nice slick package. Some beautiful dust jackets I brought in. I don't know how familiar your audience is with comic book creators, but we've got some incredible artists who are doing the interiors and some incredible people coming on board to do covers and pinups for us. People like Nicoletta Baldari, who's like one of the premier like Spider-Man cover artists right now. Paulina Ganusho, who is one of the premier DC Comics cover artists. And then we have like incredible industry veterans like Ed Bennis and Chris Cross and Paul Pelletier. So it's just like when you see it and you should, we've put a ton of the artwork in the actual campaign so you can see just for yourselves. We put a lot of time, energy into getting just like the best talent in the industry to come join us. And it's really paying off. I'm super excited for everybody to see it. So it's a full package. Definitely not you know, your typical comic book. And I'm excited about that. It's definitely how I want it to be.
Cool, cool. Are you going to have any kind of stretch goals or add-ons or anything like that?
Yeah, there's some, so both. We've got some add-ons that are fun. We're doing like a really cool oversized 24 by 36 metallic foil post, raised foil poster for with a couple of the images. And the stretch goals are going to be super fun. They're all like, the name of the roller derby team that the girls are on is the Diva Demons. And so we created a Diva Demons patch, like the logo from the girls team. We took the logo and we turned it into a patch. So it's like an iron-on patch that you can put on your own mm-hmm. stuff as one of the like easier stretch goals. And got bookmarks and original art and all kinds of stuff that we're gonna burn through. Hopefully, we'll find out. Really, just depends on if people are wanting it or not.
Cool. I think I need a new jacket just for the patches I've gotten from Kickstarters.
Oh yeah,
I love a patch. Nice. Mostly from role playing games.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Well. You saw my name when I got onto Discord, so you know that I'm doing that. We already talked about the gaming thing. Man, Kickstarter's so good for games, too. Yeah, Holy moly. Got so many Dungeons & Dragons.
I kickstart a lot of
5th edition stuff.
A lot of role-playing games.
So it, when you put a Kickstarter together, you're on Kickstarter a lot, just looking. And I noticed today, as I was just kind of like doing some edits on the campaign, I backed over 190 different campaigns, and I'm like, oh man, I need to lay off. That is too much. I mean, there's supporting things, and then there's doing what I'm doing, which is like, oh, like I need to calm down. But I love Kickstarter, man. It is one of my favorite things.
Yeah, I have a real problem.
You too?
I know I have the title Super Backer. I'm gonna try and look up and see how many things.
No, I didn't even know that was a thing, and then I just noticed that too. I'm like, oh, they're calling me a super backer. Like, is that like being a mark? Is that like being a target? Like, hey, this guy's super easy. Just send everything because he'll buy it. There's so many cool projects on Kickstarter, right? Like, there's so many.
I've done a few comic books, but most.
Oh, you have.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Mostly it's role-playing games, but I have done a few comic books, mostly Trekker stuff and a few kaiju-related. Kaiju and Cowboys is something back a while back. We had them on.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
All right. Are you ready for this number?
Yeah, let's see. Christ. Are we comparing 548
backed
projects. Yeah, thank you.
548.
Nice.
Damn.
Well, see, that's good. I think that's great.
Glad I can make you feel better.
You're like, it does make me feel better. And also, God bless you for supporting the community. You know, like, come on, we gotta put that money somewhere.
Mother Hubbard, that is out of control. I wanted to give you a personal story about long comic book titles because I also read Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles when it was brand new, before it was a cartoon or a brand of pork rinds or any of that stuff. And there was this little shop that had, it wasn't even a comic book shop, it was like an antique shop, but it had a few comic books in it. And they had, you know, the third printing of the first issue of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and that's where I got all my early Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Back in the mid to late 80s, during the independent black and white explosion in the comic industry, some friends and I, we were in high school, but we were trying to start our own comic book company. And I came up with a book entitled The Adventures of Fred Brown and His Amazing Pandimensional Multiship.
Yeah, baby.
It was just, what is the longest I can possibly come up with?
That's awesome. I like it. That's a good one. What was that one about?
Well, there's this guy named Fred Brown, and he has this amazing pan-dimensional multi-ship, and he goes on adventures.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's though. It's like a Spanish galleon with tank treads and a hot air balloon. That's the multi-ship part. And it has a quasi-quantum perception adjuster that allows you to travel to different realities by altering. If reality is perception and you can alter your perception of reality, you can alter reality. Or rather slip into another reality where more people share your perception of it. So he can use this to go anywhere in any time in the infinite multiverse.
Rad.
It never got published, but years later, I turned it into an audio play that we performed live on stage in the style of an old-time radio show.
Love it.
At some point, that's great. I will record that and put it up on the interwebs.
As you should. That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, it's moved past the stage of being a comic book. Two different artists drew like about 8 pages each at different points in its history, but it never got completed. What are you going to do, cry about it?
No.
But yeah,
just move on. Make an audio play. That's what you do. Make an audio play. That's what you do.
That's right.
Nice. Nice. So, did you fall out of comic books after that? Did like you went in college and you stopped reading them, or did you still keep reading them?
What's
your comic book origin story there?
I just got in the mail today the ROM omnibus from Marvel, reprinting the old ROM Space Knight.
Nice.
Now I have cut back. There was a point when I had over 9,000 comic books, and I was like, I can never move again. I need to trim this collection. Because I kept every single thing I ever bought. So yeah. I got rid of most of it. I decided to focus on my Superman collection because he's my favorite thing. So I kept a few 80s indie things, you know, like those Ninja Turtles I mentioned, and decided to try to have a what other 80s things. I mean, I kept my
mostly 80s, like 80s independent.
I kept it was a ripoff of the Radioactive Black Belt Hamsters.
Yeah.
I think I kept those. I probably have like a Samurai Penguin. Eben the Raven. I think I kept those.
You were right in that
Maelstrom.
That black and white explosion. You're right in it. That's nice.
Yeah.
Some fun stuff
in
there.
I kept something I got years after it came out called Warp. I still have that. I think I probably kept my Arion and my Arrak Son of Thunder because I had complete runs of those.
Oh, nice.
Not from the time. Yeah. Some of these I acquired later on eBay. You know, I was like, oh, I never did get that whole thing. Let me go find it.
I've been working on a Gru the Wanderer run. For those who don't know, Gru is drawn by Sergio Aragonés, who he did all the little Mad Margins, and he worked on a TV show called Laugh-In back in the day, and he's probably one of the greatest living. I think he actually is the greatest living cartoonist on the planet right now. But anyway, I used to love back in the 80s and 90s, he did a long run at Marvel Comic Books on their Epic line called Gru the Wanderer. He did like 10 years worth of material, and I've got all that, but starting in like the mid 90s and into the 2000s and up to today, he's done stuff at another comic book company called Dark Horse, and I realized a couple weeks ago, it's probably a couple months ago at this point, that I didn't actually have all of the Dark Horse stuff. So I've been going back in and collecting all that stuff. And yeah, just having a good old time, like reading all these really fun, silly stories about this character who's kind of like this Conan the Barbarian style character, but he's completely just not smart at all. Like just brain dead basically. And it's just played up for kind of like physical comedy and humor. And it's just so fun. I love that book.
He likes cheese dip.
Yeah, cheese dip's like his favorite thing.
Yeah, I think I sold my Grus, but I did recently get the Gru card game and a Gru miniseries where Gru meets Tarzan, or Tarzan meets Gru. I don't, Don't worry, that top billing. In
there. I just got both of those things recently as well.
Yeah, Steve Jackson Games reissued their GRU.
Yeah, I just got the card.
It was one of the Kickstarters I backed. Steve Jackson Games did a reissue of their GRU card game.
Oh, okay. That must be what I got. But I just got it. Mine just came in the mail, literally in the last 2 weeks, and I'm anxious to play it. I'm just going to find a couple more nerds to come hang out with me and do it.
Yeah, all my games are online right now, so I don't know why I even bother buying card games and board games. But yeah, I decided to, our local comic shop shut down, and I had already scaled back to only buying physical copies of Superman titles. I still get digital comics mostly. So I get a mail order now through, you know, someplace miles away in another state.
For a long time I wasn't going to the comic book store, but in the last, I don't know, 6 months or so, I started going a little more regularly. Like I'm here in San Diego, and there's a couple of really good comic book shops in San Diego still, and I started going semi-regularly. Not the way I used to be, new comic books would come out on Wednesday, and I was there, if they opened at 10, I was there at 10:01. But I'm going more regular again, and it's kind of enjoyable. It's kind of like a night, in today's modern world, everything's online, right? Everything's digital, and it's kind of nice and kind of this interesting, fun, throwback to be able to, go to a store, and go to a destination to go shopping and just have kind of a fun shopping experience, a physical, real live interactions with other people who have the same interests as you. And, the shop owner who's just some local dude from the area, he's just a guy, that lives in the neighborhood. And that's kind of fun. And now, strangely unique experience. But I've really been enjoying getting back into that. It's a weird thing to
and
say.
I know this is probably true. This is probably true of a lot of comic shops and similar places, but I know of our local one that it was a safe place for kids to go who maybe didn't feel safe at home or at school.
Oh,
and it was kind of their refuge. And now, it's where all the weirdos hang out and where everybody accepts you. And, you get to hang out with all the other weirdos and kind of figure out who you are. And I'm really sad that that's gone. Because even though I wasn't buying that many comics anymore, I'd stop in and I'd say hey to the people. And I made, friends that I wouldn't have met otherwise. And some cool, nice people. We had... we're kind of in the middle of nowhere here, and randomly one day I'm in there, and they're like, oh, yeah, did you come in because you heard Jim Lee is stopping by? And I was like, what? He was making a cross-country trip to take his kid to college and was just stopping at comic shops along the way. He was like on Twitter or something, getting suggestions. So somebody had said, hey, stop here. And so he's like, all right, we're passing right through there. So I'm like, oh, well, I guess I'll hang around for a minute.
Yeah, I guess
and,
so.
I got a free Superman sketch from Jim Lee, and the word started spreading. It was just me and one or two other people. And then suddenly more and more people start showing up.
Wait a minute. When was this?
Oh, a couple of years ago, I guess it was probably, it had to be pre-COVID, so probably 2019.
Man, that's pretty good. 2019, you get a Superman sketch from Jim Lee in 2019. That's a pretty penny. That ain't cheap.
Yeah, they pulled out a package of backing boards, and he started doing sketches for everybody on the backing boards.
That's awesome.
So. There you go.
Just for free, just for everybody in there, just doing sketches and hanging out.
Well, I think this is probably a good place to wrap it up. Folks, we will put a link to the webpage, and once the Kickstarter's live, we'll put a link to that too in our show notes. But I highly recommend you check out Super Kaiju Rock and Roller Derby Fun Time Go. You can see samples of the art up on that webpage. It looks really good. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. And like I say, Josie and the Pussycats meets Godzilla with a little bit of Whippet thrown in. I don't think it gets any better than that.
It is. It's a lot of fun, and it is really good, I promise. And thank you, Dominic, for letting me chat with you and for exposing my precious little baby, my precious work to your audience. Really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here, David. And good luck with your Kickstarter. I already pre-registered for it and got some early bird something going on. I don't even remember.
Yeah, we got some early bird specials. So if you come in anytime, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you get a nice big fat discount on the book. And we have some super secret VIP stuff. If you do hit that extra link, that get.funtimego.com link, there's some super secret extras for people who want to do the $1 reservation, but it's not necessary. And Friday's the day, one way or another. I hope you guys check it out.
We usually drop these shows like at midnight on Friday going into Saturday. I'll see if I can maybe get this one out a little bit sooner. So either it'll be starting Friday or it will have just started on Friday.
Yeah, cool. Well, perfect timing. Either way, it's good. Like I said, the specials are going to run all weekend. So as long as everybody gets in sometime before Monday around like 2 o'clock Pacific, you're going to get the best versions. Some of the like super limited edition stuff might go really fast, but hopefully there's enough for everybody. We tried to make it so that, you know, some of the original art sketch stuff is tried to make as much. Without killing the artist, we tried to make as much available as we could. So hopefully if you're in there on a Friday or Saturday, you're going to get whatever you want.
So that will be, for those of you who might accidentally be listening to this in the distant future, that is April 12th, 2024. In case you're making your way through old episodes a year from now, you might have missed it.
Sorry.
All right. Thanks again for joining us, David Hedgecock. I have been your host, Precious D. Remember to keep calm and take shelter in basements. Whatever you do, do not misuse science. We will not see you, but you will hear us next time on Monster Movie Funtime Go.
Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Monster Movie Funtime Go. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review us on your podcasting platform of choice. Our theme song is by the Texicato Folk Rock Punk featuring Lita Lopez. You can support the show, find links to our social media, and even leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/mmftg. Funtime Go!